It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hi, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton jumping to pick up with me. And what do you say we spend about 15 minutes and enjoy our weekly outdoor show here on KETR? I'm a little bit pumped this morning. It is real early, and I'm heading down to Lake Tawakoni to go fishing with my good buddy David Hansen. Now, David has been a regular on our show for a long time. He does a great job keeping everybody tuned in on the catfishing down at Tawakoni. You know, in the summer, gosh, Tawakoni is as good as it gets for catching lots and lots of good eater-sized channel catfish. But this time of year, in the dead of winter, and on for another few, probably a couple of months maybe, the blue catfish bite is on the trophy blues. And David has people from all over the country that books trips with him and comes to come down here and catch a catfish of a lifetime. But we're rolling down the road. I've got about another 30 minutes to drive to get to Tawakoni, and I thought I'd just invite you to jump in the pickup with me and talk a little bit before we get down there. I've been watching David's Facebook post, and he has been catching the daylights out of fish, you know, those 25 to 55 pounders. Been pretty common lately. Each trip is, there's no guarantees in the outdoors, but most trips are producing these fish like this, you know, 40, 50 pounders, which is, to me, just an awesome size fish of any species, especially a freshwater catfish, you know. They're hard fighters. And the smaller ones, if you know, come to Tawakoni, it's not all, you know, 50-pound fish. You can catch some, not a lot of little fish if you fish the way David does. He gears up for the big ones using big baits and big circle hooks, and he even employs some planer boards, which we're going to talk about when we get down there. I want to get David to explain the reason that he goes with planer boards, but he can put out a whole bunch of rods using planer boards. They actually push the baits away from the boat as it drifts, as it goes forward. And you can strategically place these baits all around the back of the boat, you know, out behind the boat. So David's theory is the more baits in the water, the more catfish you're going to catch. And honestly, it makes a lot of sense to me. But the wind today, got a north wind, probably about, supposed to be about 8 to 10 miles an hour. Should be just a perfect wind for drift fishing. And drift fishing is the way that most people are catching these big blue catfish right now. Marking them on sonar, or like David, just knowing some good spots to drift, and then getting upwind, putting the baits down, and pulling the baits over the fish. We always use a Santee rig. It's actually a big circle hook with a floater, just a enough floater to keep the bait up off the bottom. And then you've got a leader, and then you've got a weight, a no-roll sinker or some kind of sinker that has a tendency not to hang up very much. Those no-roll sinkers are really good. But David also uses, now listen to this, he uses a boot lace with buckshot in it, and it works really, really good. In other words, it's about 7 or 8 inches long, the boot lace with buckshot. And you can imagine that thing keeps keeps it down, the whole Santee rig down on bottom, near bottom, and then that floater floats the bait up. So works really well. It's called a Santee Cooper rig. I know you've probably seen them. It's kind of a modified Carolina rig of sorts. But we're heading down. I'm gonna get us down there in about another 20 minutes, and we're gonna join David and let him give us some updates on the fishing. We're going to be down there with him. I think a friend of his, Eric Yu, is going to be with us. I'm not real positive about that, but I think Eric's going to be in the boat with us today. So come on and let's go fishing. What do you say? Well, folks, we made it down here. David, good morning.
Good morning, Luke. How are you today?
I'm good. And Mr. Eric Yu, Eric, we're going to catch some fish with old David.
Sounds good, Luke. It's good to see you this morning.
Oh, man, it's a nice breeze. It's supposed to be like, about 10 miles an hour out of the north, right, David?
Northwest.
Well, David, I've been seeing these Facebook pictures that you got, man. It'd been some good catfish caught, hadn't it?
Yes, this is the prime time for your trophy catfishing. Can't get much better. We've been catching fish deep as well as in shallow water, so it's getting a little more exciting every day.
Man, if there's anything more fun, a lot of people think, you know, in the wintertime, stay home, but all you have to do, well, we're dressed good, dressed for it. I've got a couple of jackets on, you know. Just bundle up, and actually, that old sun's beginning to feel a little heat, so I'm looking forward to, you know, last year, an 80-pounder come in your boat, so, you know, that's saying something. You've already caught some, I think, up to around in the 60s.
Yes, sir. This year we've had them up to 60 pounds, and I can't tell you how many from 20 to 50 or so. Good eaters coming in along with them. Just wonderful fishing.
You bet. Big baits. I know we was talking last night, David. You was talking to me about you had some bigger, big, fresh, oily, bloody baits is the key, right?
Yes, sir. If you want a big fish, you feed them something big, and that's what you'll get as a big fish.
And that's what that's kind of what we're targeting in it today. I know you out for. I see that look in his eye, Eric.
You bet. I've been here before.
I don't think he's worried about what we call box fish today.
No. We're after old Mo, you might say.
Well, I tell you what. We get out there on the water, you know, get settled in, and maybe we can give our friends an update. You know, when we might get old Eric hooked into a big one, and we'll hear him holler.
There you go. Yep. Old David can put you on him, I can guarantee you.
David, that rod's bent down.
Yes, sir. We got a pretty good fish on. I don't think he's the extreme toad, but he'll make the line sing.
Well, the look on Eric's face and that rod bend on there, he looked like a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not the 80-pounder like you've done, but.
Well, he's a trophy fish. There's no doubt. You know, my expectations are pretty high.
I know that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's a 20-pounder.
All right. Yeah. Oh, good gosh, almighty. Look at that. Swing him on in here. Let me back up here a little bit, folks. We're in the heat of battle right here. That's a pretty fish, isn't he? Well, Eric, congratulations, bud.
Thank you.
I would ask, did he pull hard, but I could see that rod.
That rod was bent pretty good. He put up a pretty good little scrap there.
You bet. And, I tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to take some pictures. And, folks, if you read that Greenville Herald banner, you'll see probably this one, and we're going to get some good pictures of these things. David, that back rod's down, isn't it?
Yes, sir. We got a good one on. Yeah, I can't tell how big he is yet, but he's nice.
He's got that rod bent about double.
Working to where it looks.
Got Mr. Eric hooked up on him, and there's no talking on this deal. We're going to have to give you a play-by-play, folks. But this, I don't know, a bunch of them we've caught today. Good, hard-pulling blues.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these little smaller ones, I know we're going to put a fillet knife on them. Here he comes. He's coming right up to the... almost up to the surface. Eric, I guarantee you he's bowed up on this fish. I think he's bigger than he's a good
but,
okay, we're up close to getting him up to the surface right now. Let me get over here where I can see better and get out of y'all's way. Oh yeah, let's see what we got. Folks, that fish is probably 4 or 5 foot under the water right now, I'm guessing. Oh, that's the fish of the day. Goodness gracious. Woo! Man, Hanson's got him right in. That's going to be a picture fish right there. Congratulations, bud. You did.
Thank you.
You did good. You did good. Now, that's the fish of the day. That's one we've been looking for right there.
Yeah, that'll go 35 to 38 pounds.
All right. Folks, I think we have time in today's show for me to share a recipe with you, and it's guisado. You can make, the Mexican folks make guisado out of pork, beef, game meat, anything that they want to use, and it's good regardless of what you use, if it's good meat. But let's talk about making it out of ham meat from venison or wild pork. Now, or this could be backstrap, just depends on what you want to use.
regardless of which cut you use, if you go in with trimmed meat, it's going to be very tender and tasty. So in a cast iron skillet, the way I do it, I put a little olive oil in there, and I cube the meat up into small pieces, you know, not tiny pieces, but maybe, oh, you know, no more than half-inch cubes, probably a little finer than that, and put it in there on the hot olive oil. Add a seeded and deveined jalapeno. Put that in there with it, and a yellow onion chopped up. Throw that in there too. Give it a liberal amount of salt at this point, and just let it go ahead, and the meat will brown. It will be done, but it will be far from tender. It's not going to be tender yet, but when you get through, it will be. Okay, at this point, go ahead and add your seasonings. I like to put a little chili powder in there at this point, garlic. You can use, you know, granular garlic, or honestly, what I usually do is just smash up 4 or 5 garlic pods, you know, and chop them, rough chop them, and throw them in there too. But any kind of garlic, but you got to have some garlic in there. Cumin, a liberal dose of cumin, which is an absolute must. If you want to put a little paprika in there, you can do that. And at this point, you know, the meat is still in the skillet there, just simmering, you know, with the ingredients. Stir it all around, incorporate everything really good. Now, take a couple of carrots. You can get by with one good-sized carrot, and chop it up finely. You want to cut it up in little bitty pieces. Put that in there. Put your carrot in there with it. Stir that all around. And a couple of pieces of celery, of just regular veins of celery, stalks, if you will. Chop those up fairly fine and put them in there. And they'll start reducing the liquid, and you'll see that you're getting a lot more liquid in your skillet there. So stir that all around. And like I say, at this point, your meat will be done enough to eat, but it'll be tough. So, you know, after you get it all incorporated and everything, those vegetables beginning to reduce, go ahead and it's time to add tomatoes. Now, you can add, I usually use just the chunked tomatoes, just a can of those, put those in. And the main thing when you get through with all this, you don't want any liquid. You want it where it's going to have a consistency where you can put it on a flour tortilla or a corn tortilla. So basically, just put a lid on it, let it reduce down, cook real, real slow. It'll probably take it 45 minutes or an hour. Watch it. Make sure you don't want it to scorch. That'll ruin it. If you need to add a little water to it, that's okay. But at the end, take that cast iron lid off of that pot, of that skillet, and bring your heat up and reduce most of the moisture out of it. And when you get through, you can take that and just put it on flour tortillas. I'm going to tell you that's some of the best, the most tasty breakfast. You can serve it for dinner with Spanish rice, or a lot of ways you can do it. But I thought that would go hand in hand with our fishing talk today. Trust me, those catfish fillets we caught with Hanson are going to be in the skillet this coming weekend. I've got a big fish fry plan. Folks, I hope this has helped you a little bit. It's been a fun week for me to share with you what we've been doing, and I look forward to next week. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoke In Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.